The first and last verses of the chapter, especially the first verse, says the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Kislu, in the 20th year. And notice these words: as I was in Shushan, the palace. And notice too, right at the end of the chapter, right at the end of verse 11, it says, for I was the king's cup bearer. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of lessons in discipleship. I want you to think with me for a moment or two about the question, what does it cost? Just think of that. What does it cost to follow Christ? What is the cost to doing the will of God? And as you ponder that carefully, sincerely, prayerfully in your heart, let me emphasize the answer to you, men and women. The cost to following Christ is everything. And I wonder, are there those in this service today, and you're willing for that? You're willing to give the Lord everything. Everything in your heart and everything that you have in your life. Henry Drummond, who was a friend of D.L. Moody, the evangelist, he summed it up like this. He said that the entrance fee to the kingdom of heaven is nothing. By that he meant that salvation is free, without money and without price. The entrance fee to the kingdom of heaven is nothing, but the annual subscription is everything. The Lord is looking for everything that we are, and he's looking for everything that we have. The hymn that we sang earlier of Isaac Watts's, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, I want to emphasize to you, men and women, that is primarily a hymn of consecration. It's a hymn challenging us to surrender our all to Christ. Think of the lines at the end. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And I wonder today, does the Lord have all of you? Does he have all of your life? Can I remind you today that you can be a Christian and not be a disciple? Sometimes we use the two terms synonymously to mean the same thing, but the reality is there's a difference, a very clear distinction between the two terms. A disciple, men and women, is one that has paid the price, willing to pay the price, whatever that price might be, in order to follow Christ. So I ask you today, in the light of that, which are you? You may be a Christian, but can you describe yourself today as a disciple? Nehemiah was an Old Testament disciple. Nehemiah undoubtedly was a man that was sold out to God. He was a man that was willing to follow the Lord, willing to do the Lord's will. He was willing to do a work for God. He was prepared to go to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls of that great city. And he was prepared, men and women, to do that work regardless of what the cost might be, regardless of what it cost him personally. And what I want us to do in the service for a few minutes today is think of what it cost Nehemiah. What it cost Nehemiah to follow God and to do his will in his life. Can emphasize, in the first place, it cost him his profession. By his profession, we're thinking of his occupation or his job. The last words of the chapter, he tells us what his profession was. He says, I was the king's cup bearer. Nehemiah's job, Nehemiah's profession, Nehemiah's occupation was he was the king's cup bearer. Can I point out that that meant more than being just the butler? That meant more than just serving the king's food. By being the king's cup bearer, it meant that he had the taste, the food. He had the taste, the wine, first before the king. The reason why he had to do that was to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. You think of that. Would you want that task? Would you want that position, that job? Really, what we could say is this, the way we could describe it is, Nehemiah worked for the Persian secret service of that day. He was a man that was responsible for the king's safety. Whenever Dr. Paisley came to South Wales, he was under the Metropolitan Special Protection Squad. In London, we met the head of the Special Protection Squad. She was a lady, a believer, Chief Superintendent Eileen Eggington. And that's the sort of job, men and women, that Nehemiah had. He was the head of royal security. He was a man that had great responsibility. He was responsible for the safety of the king. So what I want you to see, as you think of his job, is he had a high-profile government job. Here's a man living in Persia, and he'd done very well for himself, done very well in life. But if he was going to do the will of God, if he was going to follow God's call in his life, what that meant was this: there was a price to pay. He would have to leave the job that he had. He'd have to give up that very high position that he held. Following the Lord, for Nehemiah, following the Lord to Jerusalem to do the work that we all are familiar with. But following the Lord cost Nehemiah, cost him his job. In fact, we could say it cost him his career. And the reality, brethren and sisters, is for many others it has been the same. Think of the disciples, those that we call the disciples in the New Testament scriptures. The Bible says that some of them left their nets and also their father, James and John, Peter and Andrew. The Bible says that they were partners. Here's four men, and they were part of a thriving family business. But when the Lord said, follow me, they left that business. They left it all in order to be followers of Christ and to serve him, do his will for their lives. David, the young shepherd boy, went to fight Goliath, and the Bible says he left those few sheep, just a little family farm, but he left it. He surrendered it in order to do the work of God for his life. Think of another farming picture in the Old Testament, Elisha, the prophet. The first glimpse that we get of Elisha, he's on the farm, he's out in the field, he's working on the land, he's plowing. There's 12 yoke of oxen. Just think of that. Wouldn't that have been quite a sight if you had somebody going up the field today turning over 12 furrows at one time, whether with one tractor or three tractors or whatever? You would think that was quite an outfit. Well, here's 12 yoke of oxen. He's handling the last. He's right at the end. But the Bible says that he left the oxen. In fact, the Bible says he slew the oxen. Do you know the idea? The reason behind slaying of the oxen? What Elisha was saying that day was, there's no turning back. I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to obey his call. And I'm never going to turn back to the oxen. Never going to turn back to the farm again. D.L. Moody, the evangelist that we've made reference to already. Before he went into the work of God full time, D.L. Moody was a salesman for shoes. He was very successful. Now think of it, over 150 years ago, D.L. Moody was earning $5,000 a year. Wouldn't that have been very significant? A very significant income. But he gave it all up, men and women. Gave it all up in order to be an evangelist and to go and win souls for Christ. The hymn we opened the meeting with this morning was written by a man called Judson van der Venter. Came from a Dutch background, as the name indicates. He lived in Pennsylvania. He was involved in education. He was the supervisor of art in the Sharon area of Pennsylvania. He had a great gift in evangelism, recognized by many. They urged him to leave his secular employment. That was something he struggled with, maybe for 5 years of his life. But he said there came a day, a sacred day in his life, when he surrendered all to Christ. And he went on to a life of great usefulness in the work of God. And that's how he came to write that hymn. It was his own testimony, men and women. Can I ask you, will you do the same? Maybe the same battle, the same struggle going on in your heart and life? Will you surrender your all for Christ? Many have left their job.
Many have left their business. Many have left their profession. Many have given up their career in order to follow the Savior. And the question is, will you be one of them? You say today, I love my job, love my business, love my work. It's all I ever wanted. It's all that I ever worked for. It is a dream come true in my life. Well, here's the question for you if you think like that. The question is, do you love it more than the Lord? Do you love that job? Do you love that business more than the Savior? And if the answer is that you do, then the reality is it has become an idol. It's taken the place of the Lord in your heart and your life. And you need to pray. The words of Cowper's hymn, the dearest idol I have known, whatever that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee. What did it cost Nehemiah to do the will of God in his life? It cost him his profession. As well as that, it cost him the palace. Because look there at the end of verse 1, it says, I was in Shushan, the palace. Now just take that in today. Think of where this man lived. Think of where he worked. He lived and worked in the palace, the royal palace. Think of the decadence. Think of the luxury. Think of the splendor that would be all around him. And it was splendor and decadence that surrounded him every day of his life. There would have been wealth untold. He enjoyed every comfort of this world and every comfort of this life. But the fact is, he gave it all up in order to go and do a work for the Lord. Nehemiah left the royal palace. And he left the royal palace to go and live in a ruined city. Now you think of the contrast between the two. And why did he do that? Why did he leave the palace to go to a ruined city? Well, he did it because of the call of God. He did it because of the will of God for his life. Can I ask you, will you follow his example? Will you leave the comforts of home, all of those comforts, in order to serve the Lord? Do you remember the words of the Lord Jesus? He said, thinking of his own life, his own ministry upon this earth, he said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And there's the challenge, men and women. Will you leave your comfortable existence and follow Christ with the prospect of never having a home of your own, never having a fixed abode? You think of the days of Haggai. Those of you who were here at the prayer meeting the night the Gwynns visited with us, he took us through a little of the book of Haggai. Haggai said, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, the Lord's house, lie waste. They were living in comfort. They were living in great luxury. But they had neglected God's will. They had neglected God's work. And is that true? True of you? God calling you? God speaking to you? But you can't give up the comforts of home. That's the thing that's holding you back from going through, surrendering all for the Lord. You live very comfortably, have a very comfortable life, and there's a sign for the Lord on your heart's door, and the sign says, do not disturb. You don't want the Lord to disturb you in the comfortable existence that you have. You read the life of John Wesley, brought up in quite a privileged background, been shown around a beautiful country residence, one of those very large country residences and country estates in England on one occasion. And he was enjoying all that he was been shown and all the reports, the details that he was been given that day. But this is what he said, men and women. I too have a relish for these things. But there is another world. And I emphasize that to you today, men and women. We live in a day. We live in a society when we get taken up too much with this world. But remember, let me impress upon all your hearts this morning, there is another world. There are other riches. There are eternal riches. And the great question for us all is, which world are you laboring for? Are you laboring for that other world. And I want to urge you, men and women, don't let your love of home, with all its affluence, with all its plenty, with all its comfort, don't let those things keep you back from serving Christ and doing his work, doing his will for your life. Remember, that's what happened to young John Mark. Remember, he set out in the missionary team with Paul. That's the reason why young John Mark first made shipwreck in the work of God. You ever notice in the New Testament, he came home from the mission field. The Bible says that he went not with them to the work. Great question about young John Mark and that incident in his life is the question, why? Why did he come home again? Why did he not continue on the mission field? Why did he not continue in the work of God? Can I tell you one reason, men and women? It was the comforts of home. Acts 12, the prayer meeting that was held when Peter was in prison, the Bible says that many were gathered. Gives you an idea of the size of that home. Remember, that was his home. That was the home that he grew up in. It was his mother's home that that prayer meeting was held in that night. So many were gathered. Large home. The scriptures tell us that it had a gate. Peter was knocking at the door of the gate. So it was a large, wealthy home. But the sad thing was this. It had too big a tug on the heart of young John Mark. When he was away out there roughing it on the mission field, he missed the comforts too much. And that's one of the reasons. There's others too, but that's one of them, why he went not with them to the work. So I say to you, don't be like him. Don't let your love of home keep you back from serving God and doing what you know to be the work the Lord wants you to do for him. You know, Nehemiah is a picture of Christ. We should always be looking for those pictures in our reading of the scriptures. He's a picture of Christ in that he wept over the city. We're told there in verse 4, when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned. He's weeping over the city of Jerusalem. But Nehemiah is also a picture of Christ in the fact that he left the palace. The Savior left the ivory palaces of Persia. Nehemiah left the ivory palaces of Persia. And that's a picture of the Savior. He left the ivory palaces of heaven, the glory of heaven. He came down to this wicked world. And he came down to this wicked world to save you. And the question, men and women, is, how can you make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave his all? Jim Elliot, the missionary to South America, remember the famous quote, "He's no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep in order to obtain that which he cannot lose." And you know the reality? That home that you love so much, that home that you're putting all the efforts, all the money into building, the reality is you can't keep it. You can't hold on to it. And you need to see that, men and women, one day it'll be taken from you. So he's no fool that gives up the thing that he cannot keep in order to obtain the thing which he cannot lose. So I want to urge you today, labor for that other world. Labor for your eternal home. Labor in order to lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt. Here's a promise of the Savior's that has had a great influence upon my own life. Jesus answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses, and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Do you know the message? The message of that text, what the Lord Jesus is saying to us, you'll never lose by giving to God. No matter what you give to him, no matter what you sacrifice, no matter what you surrender to him, he's able to equal it and give you much more in return for it. So what did it cost him? It cost him his profession. cost him the palace. The other thing I'll emphasize is it cost him Persia. Because if you look there at the end of that first verse, he says, as I was in Shushan, the palace. Remember, it's always good when you're reading the scriptures to take a biblical atlas and find the location of the places that you're reading about. And I remind you today that Nehemiah was a Jew, but he was living in Persia. His ancestors had been carried there, his Jewish ancestors, maybe 160 years before. Shushan was a Persian city. It was the location of the king's winter residence. And what was happening here was, what the Lord was calling Nehemiah to do was to leave Persia, to leave the land of his birth. Persia was the only land up until that time that Nehemiah had ever known, the only land that he'd ever lived in. We could describe it as the land of his nativity. And the Lord was calling him to leave Persia and to go 800 miles away and to serve him in the city of Jerusalem. He wanted him, in essence, to go and be a foreign missionary. And the question is, are you willing to do that? The Lord said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And maybe that's what the Lord's saying to you. That's maybe what the Lord wants you to do, to go from this land and live in another land, maybe a faraway land, and serve him there. Be a witness. Be a missionary. Serve him there and bring the gospel to those people. After Paul got converted, the Lord said, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Can I ask you? Will you go? Go for the Lord? Go to some faraway place and do a work for God? Will you leave the place where all the excitement is, all the action is? Remember, that's what Nehemiah did. Think of all the excitement, all the action taking place there in the palace. Every day would have brought some new situation. But he left it all in order to go to some obscure place, some obscure location, in order to be a servant of the Lord. You know, we sing the hymn, and the will of God, we'll sing a verse or two of it in a moment. Where he may lead me, I will go. For I have learned to trust him so. Do you mean it? Do you mean the words? Wherever the Lord leads you, whatever the Lord says to you, wherever he wants you to go, whatever work he wants you to do, where he may lead me. No restriction upon it. It's not a case of anywhere but. How many Christians have said that? Lord, I'll go anywhere but. I'll do anything but. That's the attitude of so many. And maybe it's the attitude of your heart today as well. Count Zinzendorf, the friend of Wesley, said, the world is the field and the field is the world. And henceforth that country shall be my home, where I can be most used in winning souls for Christ. May the Lord give us that spirit, men and women. You ask me today, how do I know which country I should go to serve the Lord? Well, if you read the story of William Carey, what he did was he put a map on the wall, a map of the world, a map that he made out of leather. And every day as he worked, he looked at that map. And he prayed the Lord would burn him and the Lord would guide him. And also think of verse 3. There's a report here that's been given of a great need in Jerusalem. That's how Nehemiah got the burden. And I urge you, men and women, go to the missionary meetings. Listen to the reports that are given. Take the missionary letters. How often those missionary letters are neglected. And as you read the reports, as you hear the reports, what God will do is he'll give you a burden of where he wants you to go and be his servant. Do a work for him. And I want to urge you, in the light of the context of what we're thinking of here, I want to urge you to think of going to the Jews, going to the Hebrew people. Isn't that in essence what Nehemiah did? Concerned for the Jews, concerned for Jerusalem. Remember, that's a neglected mission field. And yet the Lord Jesus said, the gospel is to the Jew first. We're to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So think about evangelizing the Jewish people for Christ and with the message of the gospel. So here's a little men and women of what it cost. Nehemiah the disciple. Here's a little of what it cost him to serve God, to do the will of God for his life. Cost his profession, cost him his job, cost him the palace, all the comforts of home, cost him Persia. He had to surrender himself and leave his own land, go to a faraway land and do a work for God. I'll close today just by emphasizing these few truths to you. Jacob Stamm, he prayed. Listen carefully to the prayer. The only thing we know about sacrifice, we talk about it glibly, shallowly. The only thing we know about sacrifice is how to spell it. And the reality, men and women, in most cases that is true. We know nothing about it. We think we do. We talk about it as if we do. But the only thing that most of us know about sacrifice for Christ is how to spell it. We have never made any sacrifice, anything remotely resembling a sacrifice, to do something for the Savior. Oswald J. Smith, it was under Oswald J. Smith that Dr. Cook came to the Lord. Oswald J. Smith wrote a book entitled The Man God Uses. Well, here in Nehemiah chapter 1, in this man Nehemiah, you have a very clear example of the man that God uses. The man that God uses is a man that's prepared to give God everything. Everything in his life. And I ask you today, will you be that man? Will you be that woman? There's a verse in that hymn of Noel Grant's that we sang, and it says, the price is high, the price of discipleship. Severe the test. For those who would enjoy God's best. You want God's best in your life? Well, there's a price to pay for it. Surrender all. Then take the road with those who will go through with God. Lessons in discipleship, men and women, from the life of God's servant Nehemiah. May the Lord impress them today upon our hearts. May he speak to our hearts through them. And may he touch our hearts. And may lead us all to that place of surrender with him. A couple of verses then of 4:3-7 as we